Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Bamboo the kitten, who you just heard, celebrated his four-month birthday by catching his first mouse. In addition to catching his first mouse, Bamboo, with Bibi's full cooperation, figured out the best way to play with her, which turns out to be quite different from the way he plays with Ollie. And the way he plays with Ollie is different from the way he plays with Fricka, although not quite as much. Frick is the eternal mother. And even though she and Bam will engage in some pretty rough and tumble play, she also watches out for him. For example, it was Fricka, not Ollie, who made it quite clear to me that I had accidentally shut Bamboo in the cabinet under my desk. She was the one who sat on the desk chair and whimpered and whined upstairs and refused to come down. When I went upstairs to see what was wrong, I could hear him in the cabinet and opened the door to free him. Then she was perfectly fine. As I've watched the dogs and the cat all by himself, it occurred to me yet again that anyone who wants to work with dogs, and particularly dogs with behavioral problems, ought to get a cat. A basic domestic short-haired cat, preferably one from a good farm background or a good in-and-outdoor background. In addition to having that heritage, the kitten should also have been allowed to stay with the mother until the kitten had a really good sense of self, at least 8 weeks of age and maybe closer to 12 weeks in some cases. And most certainly, the animal should not have been relieved of his or her reproductive organs at that tender young age either, because such an upbringing and such early experience can definitely affect behavior. The goal here is not just to get a kitten, but to have a normal kitten. Because the reality is, our grasp of normal behavior in dogs is becoming more and more limited. Part of this is probably due to the problem-oriented approach. As the experts become more and more focused on problems, they naturally want to find, identify, describe, and perhaps slap their very own name on a new one. The other issue with a problem-oriented approach is that that's all we focus on. We are so busy trying to find problems, trying to find something wrong, that we lose sight of what's right. If one studies problem behaviors, pretty soon the idea of normal is totally distorted. And that's where a cat like Bam comes in. For example, if you watch a young, stable kitten who's gotten off to a really good start, these cats are either 100% on or pretty much 100% off. Bam often engages in what in puppies we refer to as the zoomies. And this is just that mad dash around the house, up and down the stairs, across the furniture, or whatever. It is just a 100% celebration of joy. What's interesting to me is that many times when this behavior occurs now, and it doesn't occur as often as it used to, and it's very sad to me, because that says to me that these young animals are living in situations where they don't feel comfortable enough to celebrate like that. But when it does occur, sometimes the owners are frightened. They think there's something wrong with the animal. But young kittens, fortunately, haven't been placed in so many different problem-oriented pigeonholes by the expert. They can still do this, and we can still laugh, and we can still appreciate it. Another behavior that cats are excellent at displaying is their solitary nature. Bamboo can play hours by himself, just as he can play hours with each one of the dogs, and with me. But it's obvious from looking at him, he's coming from a different place to some extent. And I say to some extent because I don't know what it is about some folks, but the idea of a semi-solitary dog scares the pants off them. This concerns me because as soon as we define what is essentially a normal behavior as a problem, that changes not only our relationship with that animal, but everybody's relationship with that animal. And once that happens, then we become involved in a self-fulfilling prophecy. So if somebody says that semi-solitary behavior in dogs is wrong, that is, it is wrong for a dog not to like hanging out with other dogs. Now, I'm not saying that this dog is aggressive toward other dogs, not at all. It's just that this dog can take or leave other dogs. If defined as a problem, and then we slap a label on it, now all of a sudden a perfectly normal dog becomes a problem one. On the other hand, if you hang around with cats a lot, you realize, hey, this is part of the behavioral continuum. Perfectly normal behavior. Now I'm standing in front of the wood stove, and Fricka is sleeping in the rocking chair. Ollie is sleeping at the end of the dog chaise. Bibi is stretched out in front of the wood stove as if there was a fire in it, even though there isn't. And Bam is sitting on top of the kindling box looking around. And now I've approached him, and that little meow was what has become his request to see what I have in my hand. And so I'm showing him the voice recorder. He's a great cat. He's a cat, and he's a great addition to my home. Not only because he is such a cat, but also because he helps me appreciate my dogs. Not only the two, quote, normal, unquote, dogs, but also Bibi, the brain-damaged corgi, and also all the dogs that I see in my work. Yes, I do work with dogs who display what are considered problem behaviors in their particular environment. But I don't work with problem dogs. And what keeps me from slapping that kind of label on a dog or any animal is exposure to animals au naturel like Bamboo.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.